Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
You know, when we were in Mozambique, I don't know, it was our fourth trip or whatever, my youngest daughter was serving with Heidi, and you'd been there probably, what, 12 or 14 years at that point. And, you know, you can make your plans, but God orders your steps, right? And so we had taken up an offering. We had Randy Clark couldn't go on that trip. He was in Brazil and all over the world. And so he called me. He said, can you take one of my teams to Mozambique? So at that point, we had six full-time missionaries at that time. They had started out in Maputo, which is in the south where Heidi Baker's main base was, to the orphans there. I don't know how many hundreds of orphans were there in Maputo. But then the Lord told her to go, what? How many miles is it from Maputo to Pemba? 1,500 miles. So to get our team, there's no roads. So, you know, we got a Land Rover, but how do you get from there up there, 1,200 miles? They're driving on railroad tracks, and it was crazy praying for them to get there. Anyway, and they were told that there's no way that the people of that faith in Pemba are ever going to convert. They're not going to come to you. And so Heidi said, well, if you ever met Heidi, you know, try to tell her something she didn't hear from God about. Anyway, so her and Roland, we're going to go there. Well, one of the first things that happened is a baby dies, and an imam's baby is raised from the dead by Papa Supresa, who's one of Heidi's lead guys. They had a dream and a vision of a white woman, and these 12 men in Mozambique actually traveled days to get to where the white woman is. And Heidi had also had that vision from a prophetic word in Toronto that you're going to have the nation of Mozambique. God is so supernatural, it almost kind of blows my science mind right off the plot. And so, anyway, long story short, when they opened up the base in Pemba, they just started flocking. And now, I just had Will Hart. Will Hart was a 19-year-old ex-drug addict, cutting himself, depressed, gets saved, ends up connecting through a whole series of events, ends up working for Global Awakening at Randy, basically an intern, and ends up in Mozambique and marries, she's Portuguese, right? Musi's Portuguese, right? Friends of, yeah? Argentine, yeah. Friends with one of our other team members when we were in Argentina. Anyway, so long story short, Will Hart gets up at the VOA conference I was just at, and he shows a video of a village that we were in where the Muslims threw rocks at us. We had to get out of there because they were going to hurt us. That village was hit by a cyclone and has also been hit by other things. And he showed the video of this torn circus tent from the storm with 1,000 Mozambicans from that village area worshiping God. And I'm telling you, it is real worship. They have nothing comparatively, and they're in worship. And to see the transition from I'm going to kill you to now I worship Jesus, right? And so when we go in the bush, when we get to Mozambique on this trip that Randy sent us to, and I got, we got 46 on that trip from different nations. We took up an offering, and we had money belts. I had $15,000 of Medicash. And so when we got there, we were supposed to go minister. The Zambezi River had overflowed its banks and had wiped out villages, and they had taken, basically migrated to a safe place, and they were asking mission groups to come and help feed them because they're starving to death and sick. And so we had, on that trip, we took the money, and I went in the bush, and my wife and myself, Tom Jones and Brenda Jones, who led, he's been the vice president of Global Awakening. After he was a pastor in a church in Florida, and he brought a vice president from the bank, Mike Van Alt, and his wife Dina. And on that trip, when we went into the bush, all six of us, I never came out of that the same. When you see dying babies, and you run out of food, and you can't even do anything but pray and ask God to move, and He moves. Or when we're baptizing them in the village. Now they've been beheaded and killed. One day we will see them in heaven because people helped us to go. We have no idea what God is up to, and the little yeses that end up turning out to be the big yeses, and you just can't unsee it. And so May we have a vision that God, I'll never change the story of missions again. It has to be that we have to go and we have to give and we have to help. Because one day we're going to see those who have died for their faith. We have pictures. Kent sent me pictures of us baptizing him in this crocodile river. And baptizing him, and the Muslim faith people are there, and we're baptizing them. And to know that several years later, Pastor Miguel is now feeding them by the hundreds. And those who gave their lives to Christ are in heaven now. Jesus, help us to understand the fullness of your presence and glory. Shake us. Help us to realize what's important, right? All this stuff is temporary. It's all temporary. Don't focus on what we heard today. Don't walk by what you see. Walk by faith and new vision. Lord, open our hearts for the new vision that we have to see. Whew, okay, I'm supposed to do the announcements. Let me do some announcements. If you'll pull out, because this will fit with the sermon as well. I'll do the last one last. First of all, you have in your handout, do you have a survey in your handout? Is that in there? Okay. We're gonna shift some things around, I believe, this coming year, starting in January. We're looking at maybe moving from Wednesday night service to a Friday night service, because there's a lot of life's just busy with all the everybody doing everything. You got people that are, there's more homeschoolers, so to try to homeschool and then come to church on Wednesday night, people working hours. So we're looking at the first Friday of every month, we're going to, at 6:30 on those Friday nights, the first Friday, we're going to do worship and prayer. And then the remaining three Fridays, we're going to do discipleship. It'll be equipping. I'm looking at actually getting one of Randy's supernatural discipleship training courses. We're kind of looking at that. Either way, I met with our team and others this week, and we laid out the year. What do we need to equip the saints to do the work of ministry? And so it's going to be a powerful year. There's a whole lot going on. Those that love Wednesday nights, which I do, there's probably 30, 35 that love Wednesday nights that come. We're going to probably do a small group on Wednesday nights or something of that nature. So you won't miss it out. You'll have an opportunity. If you want to do both Wednesday and Fridays, you can. But for those that have busy schedules and all that, Friday nights we can come together. And so we'll get you more information on that in a bit. But this past Wednesday, well, let me, by the way, the Kingdom Men fishing trip has to be canceled. There's just so much going on. It was a really great idea, but too much busyness. So I was to let you know that the Kingdom Men's fishing trip is canceled and we'll reschedule at some point later. We've got a men's retreat going on with our Spanish community. I'm going to be in Texas. And anyway, there's just a lot going on, a lot of people doing a lot of different things. Angel blessings, if you'll see that every year, those families that in our body that maybe can't bless the children, if you got it, make sure that you see that. Dear church members, if you need a little help with your child, this is the Christmas time, please contact Christine. Let her know what the age and the needs are. And so, and then we'll put out a request to bless. Every year we've done this, it's been really amazing. This Saturday is Stuff the Truck. We kind of looked at this last week. There are children, we met with a ministry leader, there are children that go to bed in this city on the floor every night. So there's nothing for, there's no beds, they don't have the, so there's a ministry, they'll bring their truck in, it's called Stuff the Truck. So if you could bring any household gifts or you have an opportunity, even if you just want to make a donation to that. But they'll be here Saturday at 9:30 to 1 in our parking lot in the front. All right, let me talk about House of Mercy, because this is just incredible. We had 130 families here Thursday. We ran out of food. Normally, we run, what, Christine, 80 to 90, kind of on average as family, but because the government shut down, SNAP programs are done, there's people that are really hungry. They were lined up around the buildings to get in here. And Mama Addie, Katie, we were in the prayer station. People drive by, and they're just so happy to get anything. And the team and the volunteers. So if you're free on a Thursday morning, see Christine. We need volunteers to help pack, to bring. We have people that come in at 4:30 in the morning to set everything up. And it's such a ministry. And one of the team members of another organization that helped give us a grant was here Thursday, and she was blown away by what God was doing. Thanks, Sally, for helping write that grant. We also, I contacted Emma Balthazar, One in Christ, Christ, One Christian Network. And there's a church, I think it's Second Mile Church. They're looking for, you guys know Second Mile, right? Right? They are looking for a church to partner with. So I said, Emma, put out the word. We need food. We also have 100 turkeys that have been donated for this coming. We did this last year. We have 100 turkeys being donated, but we want to put all the fixings around it. When are we going to do that, Christine, hand out the turkeys? 150? Whoa. Okay, so now you got an assignment. We need stuffing, gravy, mashed potato, no green beans. We got tons of green beans. Now we need them. Okay. Whatever you would imagine you need to make a turkey dinner for people that can't afford anything like that who pull up here. So we want to bless them. So if you could bring those and bring them either to the cafe or to the House of the Kingdom Administration building. There you go. Please do that. So it's amazing. All right. Last on the announcements. We've been updating the Global River Church ministry team. If I know many of you have seen this, if you're trained and released as a ministry team member, the people who pray up front, who also do prayer ministry with me, would you make sure that we had some people that were not on the list? Ever since Pastor Terry retired, I took this over, so I'm trying to get it set now. And so if you would look at this, I'll leave it up here. Make sure that we have the contact information, and I'll put it right there. If you could make sure that that's correct, we'll get you. All right. Enough with the announcements. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. It just seems so hollow. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. You are everything. The more and more the revelation of who you are and what you did for us. God, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Paul spoke of in his apostolic prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, that the power within us would bring revelation, that our mind, our will, and our emotions, our souls would be transformed, that the washing of your word, you said in Ephesians chapter 5, that the washing of the word, we need to be drenched and washed in the truth of the word that sets us free, teaches us, equips us, rebukes us. Lord, I pray that that word would be powerful this morning and it'd be lasting, fruitful. In Jesus' name. So the last part is actually one of the announcements, but I wanted to weave it into the sermon. Right now when our Spain team goes to Spain, they're leaving and they're going to minister to, probably at the conference, they're having 100 women who have just really, some of them just come off the street. We've been there several years. We've done Breaking Free with them, really connected with Elliot and the ministry there. They're in 100 cities in 22 nations, and they've got 6,000 people under roof. Now imagine if one of your sons or daughters, your husband, your wife, sister, were drug addicts, so broken, and they can come into a free place, and the only a couple of requirements. You got to work when you're there, because they have 90% self-funding. They run furniture rehab. They sell chickens on the street, you know, cooked up chickens, and you have to go to church. And you can leave and come as free as you want, but the Holy Spirit falls. Years ago when we were there, there was a study that was done. The Spanish government wanted to know, why is it the heroin recidivation return to normal life is so much higher by this spirit-filled organization called Battelle? And yet we're spending millions of dollars in the Spanish government to try to rehab people, and they're not being rehabbed as well. So they got an investigative reporter, and they said, go study these guys and find out their secret. What's the secret sauce? It's called Holy Spirit. Right? The power of the living God. So anyway, it's kind of a neat story. I love how Elliot's told it. And actually, there are four books. Some of you have been with me there. This is another weird thing that happens. The Spanish government, instead of allowing the drug addicts, or they don't allow, instead of the drug addicts roaming through Madrid and other places, they allowed drug camps to be set up outside of the main cities. This is wild. Where you're allowed to be a drug addict and do whatever you want in there, just don't rob people on the street. So when you go there, literally there's this boundary, and the cops are there, and you can drive in. You see people drive in their Mercedes. They do their hookups. You can see, it looks like a living hell. I was in there one time, we're driving through it, and there was a night, she must have been 7 or 8 months pregnant with a heroin needle sticking out of her arm like this, completely out. It is living hell on earth, the spirits of darkness that are there. You have people, they have drug houses there that people with AK-47s guard their drugs. And it's all allowed by the Spanish government. You want to do your stuff? Go do your stuff. Just don't bring it on the streets. Interesting concept. We have some of that in our own cities now, right? Aren't we giving out free drugs? We got heroin needles all over the place in some crazy place in Philadelphia. We got a spiritual son that's ministering there this weekend. Anyway, they wrote these books about this. So this, one of the first converts by Elliot and his wife and children after they had planted a church in Mexico. I know this is a rabbit trail, but it's going to go somewhere. They were having all the success in Mexico, so the Lord said, I want you to go to Spain. So they went to Spain, and they started the model they did in Mexico, and it wasn't bearing fruit. So what do? You got three young kids, your wife, you're here, you're a WEC missionary sent out of Myrtle Grove, and we've been partnering with them and helping them go. And so they go on the street. The first person they lead to the Lord is a 6'6" drug dealer in Spain. I don't know how you say in Spanish, thick one. I don't know what that word is, but that's his name. He's this monster guy, heroin addict, and he gets saved. And so, how do you say it? Does anybody know how to say it in Spanish? Where's our Spanish speakers? Oh, well. Doesn't matter. But anyway, he's a big guy. And so, can you imagine, you probably wouldn't argue with him. He's streetwise. He's got an influence, right? He's done a lot of things on the street. So anyway, he gets saved, and the ministry starts growing, which today I've told you how big it is. Well, when the investigative reporter gets assigned to go find out what the heck is going on in that place, why they're so successful, Elliot assigns him to the thick one, who is, he's got AIDS. In fact, at one time, over half of the leadership there were all dying of AIDS. And so that was even prior to some of the medications that they had. So the thick ones assigned to him says, for the next year or whatever, however long this guy's assigned to us, show him our ministry. So they're out doing street ministry. They go to the drug camps. They look at that. And one day during worship, the largest evangelical church in Spain is in Madrid, and it's Elliot's church. We preached there 2 years ago. Lisa, Pastor Lisa is going to preach there this coming Sunday. And so our team will be there ministering. The last time we were there, worship broke out in dance that just the whole place came undone, right? How many were with me on that trip? Remember that one? And so, in fact, that joy of the Lord just hit the place. Elliot said, oh my gosh, we needed that refreshing. Well, this day that they're in service the first time with the thick one and the investigative reporter, music starts. And you got these people that are tatted. They don't have much teeth. They're broke. They look like rough folk, right? And the worship starts, and all of a sudden, the whole place erupts, and all these ex-addicts and prostitutes just start dancing and worshiping God. And the investigative reporter's like, what the heck are you, what is this? He turns to the thick one. He says, what are they doing? He goes, we dance because we cannot fly. All right? Guess what? They wrote a book. He went back and reported. They ended up writing a book, which is called That We Dance Because We Cannot Fly. But so there's been now, I think, 8 books written about them. We've been at the ministries there in England. We've seen the ones in Spain. But the another book was Sacking the Enemy on the Frontiers of Hell, a rescue shop within a yard of hell. What they would do is they would take the Battelle trucks and food trucks and medication trucks, park it on the edge of the drug camps, and when the people are so drugged out, and they said, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, they come out and said, would you like to come and get free? And they'll give them food, they'll help them freely. Come, we have a house, Casa de Chica, Casa de Hombre, come with us. That's the rescue shop within a yard of hell. And then there was another book called The Cost of the Kingdom. Elliot's son died in a car crash, 10 years old, when his 16-year-old son was driving a car, and Elliot's 10-year-old son died in his arms. His wife had a brain tumor, and she died years later. There's been a cost to the kingdom. And so you pray for Battelle and you pray for our team that they'll have a massive impact this week, that there will be so many people changed and on fire that will run these other next generation of leadership. So pray for them. Okay, Wednesday night, last Wednesday, who went out with us? Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. We had about 30 plus. We took the Spanish church. We went out. It was Take It to the Streets. I'm telling you what, this next two Wednesdays, I just encourage you, come. Here's what we saw, so many things. We had four people that prayed for salvation. We had two rededications. We went to Lowe's Home Improvement, Walmart, Hospital, ICU, Harris Teeter, Spanish Mercantile, Longleaf Park, Subway, and others. We prayed for over 100 people. And so it was funny. I want to invite Ron up. I don't know. Some people said, I'm not bold enough. I can't do that. I'm afraid. Like, I don't know. I just want to let Ron model for you. So let's say that I'm at Walmart, and here comes Ron.
How you doing? I'm Ron Britt from Global River Church on the ministry team. Is there anything I can pray with you about today?
Okay. You're from where?
Global River Church.
I'm not really spiritual.
No? So you know Jesus?
I know about him.
But so does Satan, but...
Well, that's true, yeah.
Would you like to learn about him today?
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to accept Jesus, I can lead you through a small prayer, and he'll change your life. I can't, but he can.
Okay.
Just pray a small prayer after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept what was done on Calvary's cross.
I accept what was done on Calvary's cross.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
For saving my soul.
For saving my soul.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, start attending church and make sure you go to a church where the Bible's actually preached.
Yes, sir.
And not what some guy's got to say. And Jesus will be right there with you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I don't know about you, but thank you, Lord, it took, right? Praise the Lord. When Ron walks up to you, do you need prayer for anything? It's like, I do now. Hard to say no, you know. Some of us don't have that, and that maybe that same effect, but Katie does, yeah. So it was amazing. I was praying in the morning before Wednesday, knowing we're going to take it to the streets, and the Lord highlighted to me Lowe's Home Improvement, the cabinet area. Said there's somebody back there who needs prayer. So it was Liliana and Brian, myself, Ron, Mary, Donna, and Travis, and Sue Kim. Right, Sue. Sue was with me, and so we split up and two by two, and we get Sue Kim and I get to the back of the cabinet area. There's hardly anybody in the store at 7 o'clock at night. But it ended up, the employee was there. I won't share a whole lot about it, but went up to her and I asked her if she was a spiritual person, was she following Jesus? She said, no. I won't tell her what she said because it's private. But anyway, she said, but I've been hurt because my grandparents are very spiritual and they've rejected me. I said, so your heart's broken. Said, you know, the Lord told me to come here and pray for you. Can I pray for your heart to be healed, that whatever's hurting there? And by the way, have you ever asked God if he's real? She goes, no, I'm not spiritual. I said, well, if God's real and you ask him, wouldn't you like to know if he's real? If he doesn't, there's no skin off your nose, right? Big deal, right? But if he is real, wouldn't you like to know that? And so I knew that it was seed planting time. It wasn't water and harvest time, right? And so she received it. And so Sue and I prayed for her, and she received it. She thanked us. And then, Ron, share your testimony. You and Donna, there was the other one in Lowe's, right? Why don't you share that testimony? That's a good one.
Yeah, it was me and Sue. Sue, right?
Sue Kim, yep.
Yeah, Sue Kim, she was walking with me and Travis, and we were heading down one of the aisles, and there was a couple with this little blonde-headed girl there, little thing about 4 years old. She's just as pretty as any little girl you ever saw in your life. And anyway, I walked up to the couple, and I said, is there something I can pray with y'all about? And the man said, yes, my wife's going to have the baby in January. And he said, well, we can pray for the baby. And I walked up and I laid my hands on this lady's shoulder and I started praying for her. And this little girl, she walked up and laid
hold your mic up
on mama's belly. And when she did, I had to stop praying. I just stood there and I held my hand on her head and I listened to this little child pray. And I have never heard a more perfect, more innocent, more beautiful prayer in my life as I heard come out of that little child. It just totally, totally blessed my heart.
What'd the husband say?
The husband standing there, and he thanked me like four times for coming up and praying for them. I said, brother, don't ever thank me. Thank Jesus, because he's the one that sends me out to do this.
Yeah. Wasn't there one that said he'd never had anybody pray for him before?
Yeah, there was one lady on one of the aisles there in Lowe's. And I walked up to her and I said, I introduced myself and I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, I don't know. I've never had anybody pray for me before. I said, well, is there anything in your life that you would like guidance on or you need healing for or anything like that? And she stops and she gets real serious and she goes, yes, but it's like a really long list. I said, that's all right. I got over how long it takes. And she told me two or three things, and I laid my hand on her shoulder, and I saw her praying. And she looks at me, she goes, that's the first time in my life somebody's actually prayed for me.
Wow.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that, so there was a bunch of us at Lowe's Home Improvement, but there were others that were already at Walmart. So we migrated over. Katie said, I got to pray for the lady behind the desk at that Subway in Walmart. And said, Katie, you sure that's the Lord? You know, and I know Katie does. And so sure enough, Ruby was behind the counter. And so when we walked in, it was chaos. They were 20 deep, right? There was only two registers open, 20 deep standing there. Everybody was frustrated. Couldn't even see the line. We walked into this thing. It was like, holy my. So I got my card because I'm incognito, like I'm shopping, right? Yeah. And hey, wisdom. And so this lady, her name is Gloria's there. She goes, I almost bang into her. I said, where's the line, Gloria? She goes, I don't know where the line is. I'm telling you what, this is crazy. Yeah, this is a fright. I said, Gloria, are you frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated. I said, do you need prayer? I need prayer. I said, okay. Do you need prayer for anything else? She goes, I've been building a house for 3 years. It's beyond budget. Oh my gosh, I got this. Gloria, let's pray right now. Her countenance changed, right? Then all of a sudden, they open up all these additional registers, the lines, and then in comes, there must have been 20 Global River folks, maybe 15 in there, right? Wandering all around, praying for, turns out Doris, I think you knew Doris at the front, right? There was another lady at Walmart that knew this guy when she was a baby, she said, or you, Donna?
It was, Donna all her life.
So, I mean, they're praying for the Subway lady. Well, it turns out she knows them. And anyway, the whole atmosphere in Walmart shifted. I can't explain. It's like, got all these people praying. And Doris is at the front. She's blessing us. And, you know, the lady who checks you all, I make sure you're not stealing anything. I'm telling you what's the point? There are people just like the story of Mozambique that need to hear Jesus, and you're and I are the mouthpiece. If we could just come, you don't have to have anything fancy. I don't have all the scriptures. You just need the love of Jesus. So Wednesday at 6:15 in the foyer. So I'm telling you what, this is powerful. This morning I get an email, a text from her husband in Ohio, spiritual son Jason. He said he had a dream 2 days before we went out on our trip Wednesday morning to go about and about. And so he says, here's what it was. There was a group of folks from Global River Church, and you were a mission team, and you were in a gymnasium, and there was a speaker there asking for testimonies of all the people that you ministered to out and about. And it says, your team had all of the evangelism of power, those that had come in. It says, so I said, Jason, we just did that 2 days later. You saw it. He's a seer. And so here's one of the power evangelism that's happened. Sam, one of our elders, Sue's wife, Sue's husband, who leads our youth group, they decided to go to Longleaf Park. And so I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, well, maybe the ball team. He said the whole park was filled with ball playing and all this going on. So they're praying over this one group. Goes up to a lady, and he's praying with Sue, she says, well, pray for me and pray for my boyfriend. And so they're praying for her. All of a sudden, Sam said his leg went on fire. He felt like painful fire going down his leg. He goes, I think that's a word of knowledge. And so he turns to the young lady. He goes, is anything wrong with you or your boyfriend's leg? Because my left leg is on fire. He goes, my boyfriend has a tumor in his left leg. Oh, well, let's pray for that. That's power evangelism. God will meet you. And God, guess what? You walk out of. So when we got back in the horseshoe, that was part of the dream that Jason had. We got back in the foyer of the sanctuary here, and everybody's given their testimonies of what happened. 4 people get salvation prayers, 2 get rededicated, people get healed for prayer. Folks, we gotta do this. Say again. Romans 15:13. So last Sunday, Sue Kim, what's the probability of you getting the same word 3 times within an hour? Only God. Only God, yeah. And he kind of blows our mind, right, with he's able to do those kind of things. Why would he do it? So that you know he's God, you know. So let me read you Romans 15:16. Pat gave Sue the word, then she got another word, and then she went to the ladies' luncheon. Oh, I don't need to go to the ladies' luncheon. You might want to. And so Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Didn't we hear that today? Joy and peace because you trust in him, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. King James says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I just want to invite you, the next 2 Wednesday nights, come 6:15. We had people drive in from Shalot Supply. We had another lady from another church said, they're not doing this anywhere. I got to be here. So she drove in, and she went to the ICU and prayed for a family whose husband is on life support. So we can be the hands and feet, guys. You'll feel, I'm telling you, you'll feel so much better, right? You can't outgive God. So, all right. It's a lifestyle. That's right. It needs to be a lifestyle, right? It needs to be naturally supernatural, no matter where you go, and it's just exciting. So, all right, take out your handout. Praise the Lord. This will all fit together, I believe, in this sermon as well, how God is orchestrating things. I've titled the message, Never Give Up. Faint Not. Never give up. Faint not. I want to start, I'm going to unpack this, showing how glory to glory. But I want to start back in the Old Testament. If you would break out your sword, Exodus 34, where Moses, remember the first time he gets the Ten Commandments, when he comes back off the mountain, they have now converted their jewelry from Pharaoh's time into the golden calf, and Moses is so distraught, he throws the Ten Commandments down, they're smashed. And then the Lord tells him, there's going to be a new covenant, and I want you to recreate again the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34 picks up what happens here, because God is long-suffering and forgiving. And so in fact, the New Living Translation in Exodus 34 titles it, A New Copy of the Covenant. And then he goes through the next multiple verses here, all the way to verse 35, with just this whole outpouring of Scripture and revelation. And so it starts out with, he even declares who he is. I am Yahweh, verse Let's look at verse 5. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with Moses, and he called out his name. So the Lord declares his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. He's slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations, and I forgive iniquity and rebellion and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren, and the entire family is affected. This is negative legacy. There's also positive legacy where it says, but those who love me, I will give blessings to 1,000 generations, right? So immediately Moses, when the Lord comes in verse 8, throws himself to the ground and he declares this, Lord, if that is true and I have found favor with you, please travel with us. Yes, this is a stubborn and rebellious people, but please forgive our iniquity and our sins and claim us as your own special possession. The Lord replied, listen, I'm making a covenant with you. In the presence of all your people, I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in the earth or in any nation. And all of the people around you will see the power of the Lord and the awesome power that I will display for you. Then he gives three things that are really important. Listen carefully. I command you today, you're going to go and you're going to drive out. Verse 12, be very careful. Never make a treaty with people. Don't be careful who you hook up with and what you invite in, right? And then he says, I'm a jealous God. Make sure you follow me. Verse 12, he says, be very careful not to make treaties with people in this land. Don't follow their evil ways. I am a jealous God. You know, I was thinking, if you or I had to give one of our children so others could live, and then you rejected that, you might be a little upset. God says, I gave you everything you need. And that's why he says, I'm a jealous God. I deserve to have you worship me. I've made it all possible for you. It goes on, and of course, we want God to follow us. It talks about the covenant. Well, let's pick up in verse 29, Exodus 34:29. When Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets, so he's got the second set inscribed in the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. Let me ask a question here. What happens when you or I seek to be in the presence of the Lord? What happens when you really deliberately seek to be in the presence of the Lord? What happens? Transformation. How about peace? If you're a believer, it's peace. If you're in witchcraft, it can cause all kinds of things to manifest, right? Because light wins over darkness. So we've had them manifest here, go in a catatonic state, fall to the ground overseas. We see it all the time. So this is that place where the presence of God is transformative. It will reveal, right, what is actually going on in your heart. You'll see deliverances. You'll see truth revealed. You'll actually get assignments. The Lord will even talk to you. And if you're in his presence and you're waiting there, you'll get assignments. I need you to do this, or I need you to go. My example there is just easy prayer Wednesday morning. Lord, I know you have an assignment for us. Where do you want me to go? Why don't you go to Lowe's Home Improvement, the cabinet area? Yes, sir. Right? There's a person there that's going to remember this crazy man with Sue who came there and told me this. That's going to stay with that person. And if she does pray, Lord, show me if you're real. He's real. And so this is that in the presence of God, things change. We know what happened to Moses and Joshua in the tent of meeting. So here we see, he doesn't even know it, but his face is aflame, right? He's radiant. Because when you're in the presence of God, the glory of God rests, right? I can't tell you, probably half a dozen in the last month, I go out and we're driving through, coming back from VOA, and we stopped at some gas station somewhere in Virginia, and we're getting whatever and hitting the restroom, and there's a lady behind the desk, and that woman is like Mrs. Smiley. And if you're in a bad mood, it probably would have, you know, yeah, why is she so happy? Yeah. But you couldn't help. I looked at her eyes. I said, oh, my God. I said, you're a believer, aren't you? She goes, oh, yes, I am. I said, it's all over you. Usually people in those places are like, what do you want, buddy? You know, no. So this is that presence of God that's radiant. Well, what happens with this? Look at verse 34, 32. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them the instructions the Lord had given on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking to them, he covered his face with a veil. And whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again, and then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him. And the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face, so he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. So there's something about this. Now turn with me to the New Testament, because this is even better for you and me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul actually describes what happens when a believer comes into the presence of God. It's called the glory of the new covenant. So let's look at verse 5. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It is not what you think we are qualified to do anything our own. That's a word for somebody here. Those who think, I can't do this. I can't go out there and witness. I'm too fearful or whatever. It's not what we, if Jesus went to the cross, you can go to Walmart, okay? Right? You can. I'm serious. It's not what you think that we're qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Mama Addie often says he qualifies those he calls, right? He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not written in laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 3:7. The old way in the law, etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that even the people of Israel could not go near to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God. Even though the brightness was already fading, shouldn't we expect a far greater glory under the new day, the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving us life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of this new way. So if it's the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious would the new way which remains forever? Since we have this new way, it gives us such confidence. We can be very bold. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm bold. That wasn't very convincing, but I'll let you work on that. I'm bold, yeah. You are bold, all right? In fact, it says, the righteous are as bold as lions, and the wicked run away when no one chases them. So let's get some lions out of here. We need some lionesses running here. All right. So he says, if that glory that Moses had, how much, it doesn't even compare to the glory that you have in the Holy Ghost that's on the inside here. It says that overwhelming glory, more glorious. We have this confidence. We're bold. And then he goes on and says, then this veil, look at verse 14. When the old covenant, the people's minds were hardened on that day, and the old covenant is being read. So he's talking how the Jewish people, they had this veil put over their minds that they couldn't understand the truth. But now that the veil is being removed by believing in Christ, see, as soon as you believe in Christ, something starts to fall away. And this veil can be removed by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are still covered in the veil. But, look at verse 16, I like this, it's a big but. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're bound up, you need to get in the presence of the Lord, right? It makes us more and more like him as we are changed from his glorious image. King James says it this way in verse 18. But we, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. When you look at him, When you get a facial understanding of it, there's a lot that goes into that. That's the identity that you see in Christ. He loves you. He's not ashamed of you. Sometimes I tell people, God's not ashamed of you. And they start weeping. Like, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. He goes, he paid for all that. And he's a father, and he's a good father. And so just come to him. Come with open arms. Let him open your heart to that. And so it goes on and says, from glory to glory. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore what? Therefore, since the veil has been taken off, and therefore, since the Spirit of God is in you, therefore, since you go from glory to glory, therefore, since God and his mercy has given us the new way, we never give up. King James says, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You never can give up. You can't give up, guys. I don't know what you're going through. There are times, I get it, I've been there. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. That's right, you can't, but I can. Right? You never give up. We can never give up. We can't quit. You can't faint. You got to keep fighting. In fact, that story of the thick one in Spain, when he was dying, Elliot tells me this story, when he was dying of his AIDS, 10 of the main leaders from Battelle were around his ICU bed. He had a mask on for oxygen. They had him all, and he was within minutes of his death. And he pulled it off. He pulled his mask off. And the last words he said to the leaders of Battelle, the Battelitos, is, if we won't give up, we win. And he died. There's somebody who, getting electrocuted at the moment right now. There's somebody who knows the truth. He realized, as a broken drug dealing loser, I got Jesus. And once you got Jesus, everything changes. And you can't unsee that. That affected so many of those leaders. Never give up. Therefore, since we have it, we never give up. We reject all the shameful deeds. Verse 1, the underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God. All those who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only from those who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded their minds that they don't believe. That's why when you go out and you rip the veil off and give them an opportunity to pray, and the veil drops, and the Spirit of God can come in, and then everything changes. What if that was your son or your daughter or your friend or your loved one that's waiting there in Walmart, doesn't know anything different? We don't have to go to Mozambique to have this happen. There's people down at Port City, Java right now. One night the Lord told me, go to Port City, Java and pray for the woman behind the counter. I said, Lord, it's 7 o'clock at night. I got my PJs on. I'm like, you going to argue with me, son? No, sir. I drove down there, walked up to the counter. I said, there's nobody in the shop. Nobody there. It's like 8 o'clock at night. I said, the Lord sent me here to pray for you behind the counter. She dropped and put her head on the counter and just started crying and gave me her hand. If we could just ask him to be obedient, it'll do so much to your own heart. Overcoming fear. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind, right? He also says that perfect love, 1 John 4:18, perfect love expels all fear. If there's any fear, it's fear of judgment, fear of being judged by others. How many got rejected a couple of times? Twice. No, I don't want you praying for me. Okay. That's all right. On the day of judgment, they'll say, I sent you one of my guys, and you rejected that. Now, maybe later they'll say, well, maybe I do. Maybe they haven't gone through enough of life yet to want somebody to pray for them. All right, moving right along. Let's look at your handout. It says, never give up. From glory to glory. I've summarized what we just read. From glory to glory. But verse, I want you to look at 14 and 16, verse of 2 Corinthians. He emphasizes this again. 2 Corinthians 4, look at 14 and 16. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with him and present ourselves together with him. King James says it this way, knowing that which raised Christ, Lord Jesus, shall raise us up with Jesus and present us with him. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed every day. New Living Translation, verse 16 says, that's why we never give up. Though our outward bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. These present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce in us the glory that vastly outweighs them, that will last forever. Since we don't look at the troubles that we see now, rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. Seems like I heard that today. Focus on what is not, but what is faith and not what is seen. For these things which are now seen will soon be gone, but these things we cannot see will last forever. Paul is telling us, don't give up. Yeah, these bodies are dying. Nobody likes that, right? Seems to get older, everything falls down. Like, yeah, that's like, but the good news is Paul tells us you're going to get a new, renewed body. You're going to have this everlasting body, right? So, praise the Lord. Okay, I was going to go down a path. I won't. I'll just leave that alone. All right. Take up your cross daily. Then you might say, well, Pastor, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? You got to die. Last week, Pastor Lisa preached on I Die Daily. Some of you heard that sermon. I listened to it. It was good. And this thing about the flesh is always at enmity, right? We know from Galatians 5, it tells us if you walk in the flesh, it'll produce all kinds of listings of things that are bad. But if you walk in the Spirit, it'll produce love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, mercy, self-control. And then he goes on and says, nail your passions daily to the cross and follow me, right? So this dying day, this flesh is a mess. That's a good word. It's a mess. And guess what? Go ahead and fast for a few days and tell me how your flesh is doing. You need to feed me. What are you doing? Are you crazy? I got and you know, the ice cream's calling you out in the freezer. I'm over here, Tom. Come have some, right? People bring me gifts of food. I was on this beautiful fast, and Pastor Willie knows I love Moose Track. I stopped at his house. He gave me half a gallon of Moose Track. That's a temptation of the devil. Not that Pastor Willie's the devil, but anyway. The point of that is the flesh is really can be powerful, right? But we need the Spirit to overcome this. Well, how do we do this walk in the Spirit? You got to die. You got to die daily. Look at your handout here. Choosing to die daily is the disciples' way. If you are a follower of Christ, there are many who say, I believe in Jesus, so is the devil. But if you're a follower of Jesus, this is Romans, Revelation 12, 17 says, the devil comes and declares war against the remnant and all those who maintain their testimony in Jesus. There are some that are not maintaining their testimony in Jesus. So those who do, you can expect warfare. Okay, so here he tells us choosing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Jesus preaches this to a whole crowd. And this doesn't preach well in the seeker-sensitive churches. But we're not that. So, and I'm not being critical. It's just, you know, you can only do what you can do. But you are not wimps in the Spirit if you're, right? So this is what he tells us. Luke chapter 9, let's begin in verse 23. I've got it listed there. I also listed Matthew 10, number 1 there, and take up your cross and follow me. Luke 9, 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Boy, it is a, you can unpack that one. It's a daily journey. Doesn't work what you did yesterday. You only get grace for today. So he goes on and says, take up your cross daily, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what you do will benefit you. What does it benefit you if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or you lose your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns with the glory and the glory of his Father and the angels. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God coming. I believe he's talking about Pentecost when the whole fire of God fell in Acts chapter 2. There were people that were alive during this teaching that saw that kingdom come, saw him resurrected from the dead, and they saw the kingdom of God coming. The kingdom is at hand. And then Jesus said he was the Son of Man that brought the kingdom. So we see this, take up your cross, choosing. I heard this, and it's just rattled in my soul. Do you want to finish well? There are those that don't finish well. I was on fire a long time ago, but I'm dry and cracked. And well, at the end of your life, here's a question. Don't sin out. Don't get taken out. And don't quit out. You can quit. You can pursue sin. And you'll get taken out. Some people walk away from God. Or you can get taken out. Unless you're taken out for the purposes of the Lord. So I just tried to list there. I said, I want to finish well. Well, how do you do this? Though many go with me. No, it's only if none go with me, I still will follow. What crowd are you following? He says, if you faint, or if you give up. I like this scripture in Proverbs 24. I listed it there in number 4. The godly may trip 7 times. That's comforting to me. I don't know if you've ever tripped up. I haven't counted my times, but the godly may trip up 7 times, but they will get up again. So don't let your past failures define where you're going. Because if it's I've told this to so many people when we do inner healing prayer ministry, they're so wrapped up in the shame and the guilt of the past that it's still condemning them, and the devil's doing a good job, and the world is doing the same, where people are, oh, you're this, you're that, wrong identity. But as soon as you give that over and you repent, and the blood of Jesus has ratified that sin, he can't remember it anymore. So why are you? It's almost like Jesus sitting there saying, what are you talking about? Well, don't you know when I did this? He said, I thought my blood paid for that. That's actually illegal. It's illegal to make Jesus try to pay a second time. I remember when I first got saved, I think I came 7 times to the altar because I wasn't sure it took. It took this morning. Thank you, Ron, for leading me this morning to Christ. Praise the Lord. But I'm serious about if you're serious and you repent and turn, then don't walk in condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there is none condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Condemnation is the devil and the world. Don't go there. Okay, blessings and burdens. How do we do this, Pastor? How do we never give up, not faint? Well, die to yourself, because dead men don't complain. Dead men, dead women, they don't get moved by all this stuff that the flesh wants to do. And you've been given power to overcome. There's no temptation known to man that God hasn't provided a way out. The problem is we focus on the temptation instead of the way out. People sitting there, oh, I'm being drawn into it. What are you focused on? What are you focused on? It's kind of no-brainer. I can't understand how people go watch these horror movies and all this crazy demonic stuff, immorality. You're focused on that. You know this. If you've ever seen a horror movie, what's that? The spirit of fear. And then you got kids looking under the bed, leave the light on, I'm so scared. You just partnered with a spirit of fear, and then you're wondering why. Whatever you focus on, you know this. When you watch a movie, my wife and I, we love the Christmas Hallmarks, I know. We watched one last night. And so it always ends with a kiss, and everything works out, you know. You almost can lay the plot out. Okay, I know where this. But anyway. But at the end of that, you feel good in here, right? Hey, they're going to kiss. It's wonderful. They made it up. Right? As opposed to, look at all the stuff that is on, I don't have Netflix, but when you look at the stuff, the progression of the darkness, the ones that they say are the top picks, of something. Look at what's behind all. It is so vile. It is trying to trap you into a digression of faith. It's no whoop. Whatever you look at, whatever you behold. Remember when the place, whatever you behold is what you become like. We just talked about being in the presence of God and how what happens in the presence of God. Well, when you're in the presence of darkness, what do you think's happening? He's transforming your mind. That's why you got to, Ephesians says, let the word transform you. Well, what word are you listening to? What is coming into your head and your mind? What are you filling yourself with? Go ahead and turn on some of this vile music. Come on, what are you doing? It's what we partner with is what we end up becoming with. And so that's where the flesh says, well, I like to overindulge. I like to be, yeah. You know, when music or just like what happened in Walmart, we came in carrying the presence. There was enough of the living stones that walked in, and we started praying for people, and even the employees started getting it, right? The atmosphere, the chaos and the frustration and the confusion shifted. That's the same thing that happens in your family, in your business. Are you a living stone or are you just a stone? Whew, better be a living stone, right? Praise the Lord. We all got to be that. So what's the difference between blessings and burdens? This is an interesting. I listed a bunch here, but is there a blessing that comes with a burden? I was thinking, yeah, that's like, I thought about this. I said, yeah, there is. Let me give you an example. Bearing the burden that comes with a blessing. If you have a car, is that a blessing? Most of the time it is. I can go from A to B, right? Well, what if you got to make the car payment? Is that a burden? Yeah. What if you own a house? Yeah, it's good to have a house, but I got to make the mortgage payment or the rent. I got to pay the rent for this apartment I'm in. So there's a blessing to have it, but how about marriage? Don't be careful, guys. Right? But it says in the scripture that there's a blessing that comes from marriage, right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And ladies, we need a helper. That's why he created y'all. We need a lot of help. So this, but it's a burden, because then you get the honey-do list. You got to do all the, you got to do this, you got to do that, and right? So there's a blessing and a burden that goes with that. And sometimes we let the burdens overpower us and we listen to all the garbage instead of, this is a blessing. How about children? God says children are a blessing. Talk to me about the all-night crying. Right? They're a blessing, but there's a burden that goes with that, right? How about believing in Christ? Is there a blessing that goes to believing in Christ? Hello. But is there a burden? There's a burden. I'm required to carry the kingdom wherever I go and make disciples of all men. Go to the ends of the earth. That's the commission, not the suggestion. So there has a burden to our walk with Christ, but it's really not a burden. That's why I love what Sarah said. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Was there a burden that he carried? Yes, you and me. But look at the blessing now. Right? So we see this burden and blessing. All right, I'm going to land this thing. It's when you're going through this time of challenge, ask the Lord, what are you trying to do with me in the midst of my burden that I'm carrying? Philippians 1:6 says that he who began the good work in you will perform it till he comes, right? We know that all things work together for good. The oil of that anointing is costly. The oil of anointing is costly. So, I want us to stand. I believe the altar call today is, I listed it at the bottom there, is don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due seasons we shall reap if we don't faint. There's so many amazing things. There's so many scriptures around this. James 1:12 said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. They shall receive the crown of life. Patiently endure testing and temptation. There's a difference between a test and a temptation. God never tempts, but he does test. So Lord, I want to ask this morning that through the power of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit, that there would be a presence to persevere, that we would be able to never give up and not faint, no matter what the circumstances look like. In fact, Galatians says in chapter 6 that one of the fruits is self-control. There's long-suffering or temperance, depending on which translations you look at. All of us need self-control. We need to be able to control. We are responsible for this flesh to make it come into subjection to Christ. And so, Lord, I pray right now, just kind of close your eyes. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would release an anointing. You would release this revelation that comes from the washing of the word of truth, that we need to die to the self, the message that the flesh tries to bring to us. Lord, I thank you that the power of the Holy Ghost, we can't do it in ourselves, but didn't he say, I'll never leave you and never forsake you? So, Lord, I thank you, the power of God on the inside. That's where Paul tells us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he quickens your mortal body, Romans 8:11. So, Lord, I pray right now, Father, Holy Spirit's presence and power. Lord, I pray that you would take the word and put it, seal it in our hearts and our thoughts as we go through. Lord, I pray for more and more fruit. As they now leave here, Lord, that as they pass through the mission doors of this house, they realize they're on an assignment and they carry glory. They carry something. They may not feel it or sense it or see it. That's why I love some of the words that were given today. Lord, that we don't walk by what we see. We walk in faith. So when you walk into the coffee shop, to Lowe's, Walmart, Harris Teeter, you walk in, don't look at what you see in the natural. What are you seeing in the spirit and what you carry? It could be the checkout person, as simple as, man, thank you. Give them a word of encouragement. Lord, I pray that you just release them, and there would be many, many that would come to Christ as a result of the power that's within your people here. So, Lord, release that anointing, and I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.